smartphone, DSTV channel 856 and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
Well, with Mother's Day taking place tomorrow, I'm really keen on this conversation with Nikki Bush, our human potential and parenting expert. As we explore with Nikki, some, you know, archetypes by way of parenting, but also the need to step out of our programming and responsibilities from time to time as a way of self-care and allowing children to stand on their own two feet. Nikki Bush, good morning. Couldn't have said it better.
Good morning, Rafilwe. How are you this morning?
I'm well, Nikki. Thank you. How are you doing? You holding up?
I am good, thank you. And, you know, as we ask that question, how are you doing? It reminds me of how important it is for mothers to take care of themselves and not just their children.
Mm-hmm.
And with Mother's Day tomorrow, I think that's our message today is, and especially during COVID-19, what I'm picking up, and I'm doing a lot of corporate support programs for parents working from home
sure.
with children, is that in my group coaching sessions that I do, I had a wonderful example of how mothers take on so much stuff. You know, there's a lot of doing in mothering, and we have to make time for being mm-hmm. and for self-discovery as well mm-hmm. within our various roles of being the mother, the rescuer, the protector, all of those things. And I had this mum who said at the end of the session, I said, well, what's the most important thing you're taking away from this morning's conversation?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you said I don't have to be my child's teacher, that I'm the guide alongside. And that's something we raised in our conversation last Saturday,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And she was, you could feel the palpable relief that somebody had given her permission to let go of that role that she had taken on so strongly. And what she said was really quite interesting. A mother of a five-year-old said, my five-year-old is so concerned that she'll lose her trajectory on her academic progress. Okay.
The five-year-old?
About her five-year-old, yes, okay.
Sure.
So, okay. So I figured this wasn't actually the five-year-old speaking. This was
sure.
actually
sure, of course.
The mother, the rescuer, who had absolutely taken on this mission to be her daughter's teacher.
Yeah.
So I turned around and said, well, you know, I don't think that that's actually a five-year-old's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And maybe at this time, you should be giving your child some space to potter and ponder. And maybe you should take the role of the observer rather than the doer.
Mm.
And she had never even contemplated this point of view. It wasn't in her frame of reference. And I mentioned the fact that, you know, at this time, over COVID-19, one of the gifts is that we get the opportunity to be with our children for so much time, which, of course, can be extremely stressful.
Sure.
But we have the gift of being able to observe our children in action and to not be rushing from one activity to another. And I suggested something I suggested on this show before, that maybe you create a corner of the room for 2 days, a room where your child can unpack a lot of different toys and not have to tidy up and go back and revisit and add to her whatever she's creating.
Mm.
This was such a foreign concept. But honestly, the reflection was actually that the mum needed to take time to potter and ponder as well
mm-hmm.
and to just be. And this is such a big challenge for mothers because we are wired biologically to care,
yeah.
to be empathetic, to be that protective mother lioness. You know, we've got our chickens in our nest and we're there and we are going to protect them at all costs. That is our wiring. But in order to keep doing that, how do we fill our own cup?
And before we talk about how to fill our own cup, I mean, in many ways, I open by saying we are exploring archetypes here. So not everybody is 100% this, but you know, this archetype might be your natural wiring, but it also might be a sort of societal pressure, right? Because we know that's something that happens as well. As soon as you know the baby pops, there becomes this unspoken and sometimes verbalized competition to be the best mom, or you know, to throw the best parties, or to be the one that's just tracking growth and achievements and, you know, milestones like no other person. And my child has got 20,000 sight words and she's only 3.5 months old. It's real. The pressure is real. Whether or not you thought you'd buy into it when you first felt pregnant, I think you do sort of dip your toes in that pond or just fall in completely at some point. Talk to me, Nikki, about the opportunity that this might give you to, you know, just shrug off that pressure, just, you know, unencumber yourself with things that you actually have not interrogated and really actually signed into, you know, to opt out of certain things that are not working for you, certain ideas around motherhood that actually don't fit you, benefit you.
Yes, well, I'm actually suggesting at the moment that mothers become a little more counterintuitive. And that means, as you say, letting go of some of those pictures of what we have of what the perfect mother looks like, and rather keep your eye on the prize. And what is the prize as a parent? The prize is actually that your children need to learn how to be independent and stand on their own two feet. And I think in the competition to be the perfect mother, we often lose sight of that. And in so doing, we actually lose ourselves too. You know, when you see what's happening at the moment during COVID-19 of, you know, people really scrabbling to step into this role of mother and teacher and all those things, and a protector at this time, of course, because of disease and, you know, all the danger that's out there. You know, people can get rather hysterical. But how can we rather use today as a teachable moment? There's so much learning out there. And often what happens is that mothers take the problems of their children away. They try to relieve their children of the pain that they're going through, or the problems they're experiencing, or make the challenge less. But just bear in mind, how does your child learn to be resourceful and resilient if you keep taking away the problem? You have to allow your children to walk through the fire sometimes. I'm not saying sacrifice your children, but don't always try and take over the problem. I mean, it starts very early on when your child goes to nursery school, of course. You know, we're trying to help our children make friends.
Sure.
Sometimes we actually get in the way of the natural process of our children finding their own friends.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And finding their own way and finding out that not everybody wants to be their friend. That's not a bad lesson to learn. But we're so, so fearful of rejection for our children or loneliness for our children. And then they just don't build the right muscle.
Sometimes
it's really okay. It's a little bit like if your child comes to you, any child from about the age of 7 onwards now, who comes to you and says, I'm bored. You don't have to scrabble necessarily and go and find something for them to do. Why not just turn around and say, that's not my problem?
Okay, well, my go-to version of that's not my problem is go play outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Go outside,
go
done. And within 2 minutes, they've found something to do.
Well, that's the thing. You see how we can hijack our children's own process by inserting ourselves or inserting our own idea of what busyness looks like. And then they don't discover what it looks like for themselves, just as we have forgotten what joy looks like for us, because we're living the picture of what we think the perfect family looks like. As opposed to, you know, sometimes family life does not have to look pretty. It doesn't have to look perfect. In fact, it can look blooming messy. And sometimes there's enormous joy in a messy-looking family. You know, you don't always have to have the picture-perfect house. You don't always have to have the children who have perfectly matched shoes and socks and shorts and T-shirts. I mean, I'm watching my nephew at the moment going through a teenage phase where he's wearing big baggy jerseys and socks that don't match anything. It's his statement, sure. You know, and the more you fight it, the more he'll do it. But actually, if you let him enjoy the process, he'll be out of it much quicker than you think.
And also beyond, I think for me, the most important thing is beyond him finally or getting out of that phase as quickly as possible. The question might be, why are you so bothered? Why, you know, what hurts you so much when the kid is wearing his mismatched socks and his baggy jersey? And when you finally realize that it almost always is just about you, you know, and just your probably issues with being an authority or being perceived as an authority or being acknowledged as an authority and then it might push you to step down.
And I think that if we spent a little more time being introspective and learning about who we are, that we put so much focus on our children, but actually being a fine example of self-discovery would be a really good thing for our children to see. I've got a meditation on mothering here by Nancy McBrien Sheehan, which I think is worth reading, if you could indulge me.
Absolutely.
It's about four paragraphs, but I think it says a lot. Mm-hmm. In a society preoccupied with how best to raise a child, I'm finding a need to mesh what's best for my children with what's necessary for a well-balanced mother. I'm recognizing that ceaseless giving translates into giving yourself away. And when you give yourself away, you're not a healthy mother and you're not a healthy self. So now I'm learning to be a woman first and a mother second. I'm learning to just experience my own emotions without robbing my children of their individual dignity by feeling their emotions too. I'm learning that a healthy child will have his own set of emotions and characteristics that are his alone and very different from mine. I'm learning the importance of honest exchanges of feelings, because pretenses don't fool children. They know their mother better than she knows herself. I'm learning that no one overcomes her past unless she confronts it. Otherwise, her children will absorb exactly what she's attempting to overcome. I'm learning that words of wisdom fall on deaf ears if my actions contradict my deeds. Children tend to be better impersonators than listeners. I'm learning that life is meant to be filled with as much sadness and pain as happiness and pleasure. And allowing ourselves to feel everything life has to offer is an indicator of fulfillment. And here's the last paragraph. I'm learning that fulfillment can't be attained through giving myself away, but through giving to myself and sharing with others. I'm learning that the best way to teach my children to live a fulfilling life is not by sacrificing my life. It's through living a fulfilling life myself. I'm trying to teach my children that I have a lot to learn, because I'm learning that letting go of them is the best way of holding on.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thanks for that, Nikki. So true.
You know, it encapsulates everything we've discussed so far. I wasn't planning on reading all of that at all, but just the way our conversation went, I had this on my desk and I thought, wow.
Yeah, absolutely,
you know,
necessary.
So much of what we believe, you and I, about parenting, and that the best way to affect change in our children is actually to work on ourselves.
Absolutely. I mean, I was joking with you earlier on saying, oh my goodness, can you just put the memo out there that this Mother's Day, what the ultimate gift is not anything you can buy, but just space, you know, go out into the garden space for the whole day if you must.
100%.
And just give me space in the house.
My son asked me last night, so Mom, what do you need? Is there anything you need right now? He said, you've got a dressing gown, you've got slippers. What else do you need? So he's obviously thinking of what can they buy me for Mother's Day. And yet, maybe one should be asking a mother not what you can buy her, but what does she really need? And I think you answered it. So much of what a mother needs is actually a little bit of time alone for herself. That is the ultimate gift. Not yelling, leave me alone.
Oh, a little bit of self-care.
In the ultimate sense of the word is even if it's just 15 minutes, to close that door and have peace and quiet. And I think it is to have no demand.
Mm, absolutely.
To have nobody asking you for anything or to do anything. Mm. For mothers of small children, to have a bath alone, to be on the toilet alone. I mean, it's just...
Oh, that's a feat in and of itself.
Yeah, the throne for the queen.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Nikki. So you do have some boredom buster activities for us for this week. Let's get into some of them, yeah?
Okay, so it's just one.
Okay.
Today.
Oh, lovely.
Just one. Mm-hmm. And it was just an interesting thing the other evening. I was making dinner and my son came in and I was about to throw away all the skins and the stalks and the pips of all the stuff left over from making a salad.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hold on. And he picked up the stem of the cross lettuce that remained on the chopping board.
Sure.
And he said, I can do something with that. And he went into the pantry and he got some green food coloring, poured it on a plate, and he took the stem of this cross lettuce, and I hadn't actually seen what it, I hadn't looked at it, mm-hmm. you know, in my busyness. I hadn't really seen that it looked like a rose.
Oh.
And I sent you the link,
yeah.
and you can see the photographs that I've taken here. He dips this into the food coloring on the plate. And there was a piece of paper that was on the kitchen table, and he stamped. He made stamps, food stamps on this piece of paper. They were exquisite. So our listeners can go on to toytalk.co.za and go and see what this looked like.
It's really beautiful.
Stamp yeah. on this piece of paper. Then he got out the dinner plate and he started stamping these lettuce roses all over the dinner plates.
Gorgeous.
Go and have a look at the pictures that I took.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of how to make fun out of nothing.
Mm.
How in our busyness we often miss the moments. And, of course, you could do this with potatoes. Potato stamping is a classic.
I remember from nursery school, absolutely.
Yes, so you could take poster paint, you could take powder paint, and you could cut shapes out of potatoes. You could do apple stamps. You could do any kind of stamp with fruit and veggies and just have a little bit of creative fun with your children. I mean, really, this was one of those little moments where, I mean, we sat with these magnificently decorated plates for dinner. It was just so awesome. So this is maybe something your children can do
yeah.
for Mother's Day tomorrow, is go and create some food stamps. And I thought that was just such a lovely thing to share.
Yeah, lovely. For that breakfast in bed moment, as no doubt so many people, so many women will be experiencing tomorrow, right?
I'm sure. Well, I jolly well hope so.
All right, fantastic stuff. Nikki, always a pleasure. You and I will catch up again next Saturday. Yeah?
Wonderful. Thanks, Rafiwe, and a happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you so much, and you too. I hope you have a fabulous day with your son.
Thank you.
All right. That's Nikki Bush, our parenting expert and human potential expert there.